B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
The 16th. That or February. So then, if he plays in that, if he plays with the, for us
he
before
plays
the All Star game,
games, just and, put it out there.
Yeah, go ahead and play in the All Star game.
Oh, okay.
So if he plays two games, you're good with that.
Look at you, Mr. Tough Guy.
Wait a minute, Mr. I will be Mr. Tough Guy. I will be Mr. Tough Guy after the All Star game. If the Sixers try telling me he can play whatever he played 20 minutes in the All Star game last year, 18
right.
minutes in the
yeah,
All Star
yeah,
game,
yeah.
and then can't play for the Sixers after that, then I'll lose my. You know what? I will go ballistic. If he ends up having load management issues after the All-Star game. But I'm not going to sit here and root for him not to play in the All-Star game if he is playing for the Sixers by February 16th.
Okay, so no concern on your part. He comes back, plays a couple games, and they say, yeah, go ahead, play the All-Star game, go to the festivity, do everything you want
yeah.
to do. No concern there.
No concern.
Okay.
But after the game.
Because I'm usually that guy. I don't worry about injury or anything like that. With him, I don't know, man. Keep that finger back here in Philly. Or go there, put a cast on his hand, and go up there and watch.
I'll put my finger where Bobby wants it.
That's what I'll do. 610-632-0975.
So cheaper.
Did we ever get the Karis LeVert sound?
No.
Can we MP3 that?
Yeah.
Hey, LeVert with the ball.
I got to send it to the people at the Sixers.
Okay. Voter, Karis LeVert.
What can you just tell me what branch of the Sixers was asking for it?
It was someone in the behind the scenes, maybe ops person.
It's cool. You can just tell me it's Brett.
Yeah,
I know it's not, but I'll just enjoy that more.
Okay.
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5, the Fanatic WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. 7 o'clock hour is now brought to you by Univest Bank. Are you frustrated by escalating HR costs and legislative compliance? There's a simple solution. It's time for Univest Employee Benefits. Visit univest.net to set up your free benefits analysis today. If you think that we were being, or I was being depressing about going back to the time that was with T.O., with Donovan, Trey, I said yesterday, we all know, you were there.
I was there.
If you think that's depressing, then I don't get more optimistic here. I'm sorry to say that. And I hate rooting against a Philadelphia athlete being an all-star, and we got into this earlier in the week, but now voting is closed, if I'm not mistaken, for the NBA All-Star game. Now it's just a matter of the reserves. Joel Embiid is a starter. Now the rest of the league, now that's comprised of 50% of the fan vote, 25% of coaches, 25% of players. That grouping voted Joel Embiid an all-star starter as a center for the Eastern Conference. Joel Embiid and Giannis Antetokounmpo are now the captains of their respective conferences. Does Ben Simmons make the all-star team? I say no. He does not make the All-Star team. If I'm betting on whether or not he will, I have this gut feeling that he does make the All-Star team as a reserve, and I ain't happy about it. Trey, do you want Ben Simmons? First off, do you think he'll make the All-Star team? And second, are you rooting for it to happen?
I mean, you know what? I think he needs this to kind of make him play a little bit better to not make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I want a player to get whatever he feels like he deserves out there. And if he's out there putting it in the work to be that, then yes, I want you to be an all-star. Has he played at that level? No, not every game. I think that he's gotten lost in the fourth quarter. His performance hasn't always been as steady. He's not he hasn't been the assassin that we need him to be out there on the court. So, I really don't know.
Are you rooting for it?
But I think that for him, it's more of being on that first, being one of the starters that's voted. That's the important one. Being a reserve, you know, what's the, you know, you kind of, it's kind of like, you know, if you're not first, you're last.
It's true. Bob, are you rooting for him to be an all-star?
Those kind of things don't rule my day at all. Being an all-star, rookie of the year, all mm-hmm. that stuff. But that being said, I think he'll make it because I think he's going to have a really good stretch lead. He's having a good stretch. He's averaging almost a triple-double his last 10, 12 mm-hmm. games, something like that. So I think he will because his play is pretty solid right now, and it's obviously recent memory.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I don't mind him being there. You know, like I always saw one of the things that Brett Brown always said, and I it stuck with me, and I kind of agreed with it. He wants his young players to be around the 22 best players in the world, to be in the same locker room with them, to absorb something from them, whether it's from a LeBron James, an Anthony Davis, whoever it may be, so that they can, you know, just soak in the knowledge that these guys have and soak in the workmanship and the ethic that these guys have, the work ethic that these guys have. So, yeah, I don't think there's any... I hear what you're saying, that maybe if he doesn't get it, it lights a little bit more of a fire.
Right. Yeah.
But I'll go the other way. I think he can absorb more good things out of making it again.
But he did it last year, so it's...
Yeah.
It's carry over.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I can't help but fall back on the only thing that'll catch this guy's attention to expand his game, because you talk about the triple-double and all that, Bob, and his numbers have been great. But if you compare him to the other real all-stars, what are their numbers in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
Like, what are their numbers in the second half? It's weird when you say pad your stats, because usually that means it's a blowout and you're just getting your numbers late in the game. He's not doing that. It's a front loading of stats that I've never seen before in sports, and that's exactly what he does. Because the big moments, I don't see him. We can scream from the rooftops about what a great game he had against the Nets, but 2 points, not only just not in the fourth quarter against the Raptors, 2 points in the second half.
Yeah,
that's not an all-star to me. Yeah.
I hear you, but if he does make it, you know, all right, if he doesn't make it and sits home and stews and hopefully does what you say, oh, I got to pick up my game and all that, great. But I think it's more beneficial that he's sitting in a locker room and his boy LeBron James, and those guys are very tight, comes over and maybe for the weekend talks to him. Hey, man, you know, you got to start picking it up. All this shooting stuff and all, give it a try. He said, you know, I went through it too. My rookie, that was the one thing that was suspect about my game. I wasn't a great outside shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe, you know, maybe he imparts some wisdom upon Ben Simmons that he carries through. I'd rather him be there than not.
Do you think players would do that in the middle of the season, though?
I absolutely do.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll give you an example. We were in San Antonio one time. Now, granted, this is when the Sixers were really bad. But we're in San Antonio one time, and Brett Brown, myself, and Bruce Bowen were in a hallway talking, and Tim Duncan, you know, came running down. He's like, oh, I got to say hi to my man Brett. And Brett was like, Tim, hold on a second, will you? And he went and got Joel Embiid. Said, you know, can you talk to him again about what we like, he didn't want to say anything in front of me, and I left. But, yeah, he wants that. He encourages that from others, and I think players do it. Yeah, now, it's not a competitive advantage that they're giving away. But, yeah, I do think that happens.
I don't think he'll be sitting at home and sulking and crying. You know,
he's back with Kendall, right? So probably not.
Well,
right,
that's all he really needs. Then.
People Magazine had the official tweet out yesterday.
Oh, that's how you know it's real.
Yeah.
There we go. So they're back together, right? He wants to play for his girl. Well, I don't know.
Apparently, they're having so much fun together, according to people.
Yeah, my wife bumped into him at Whole Foods.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Both of them?
Yeah.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Wonder what they were buying.
Ben's a neighbor of mine. Yeah, they just built a house. Seriously.
Ben Simmons built a house in South Jersey?
Yeah, over, yeah. From what I heard, I mean,
he's got a room for his massive dogs. Like, it's a full-size adult room built for his dogs.
Well, that's cool.
It's pretty awesome.
That's adorable.
Yeah. He's got, like, a turf backyard kind of thing so they can play.
I installed a cat door for my wife's cats, so I don't see the difference.
You mean your cats, but yeah.
My roommates. They're my cat roommates.
Yeah.
But, okay, so good for him. He can't be happier. I don't imagine...
We love love here on the morning show.
I don't imagine him sitting at home laying on a bed, like crying over a basketball, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, laying on a bed, like, cradling it, right? Crying because he didn't make the All-Star game.
Nah, he'd be playing his games. He's a gamer.
Call of Duty, I believe, is his game.
All right, so what is his reaction?
I think his reaction is, all right, well, I'm not good enough to be an all-star. I need to improve my game.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah,
you're taking
it
step further.
Because I think it's the only thing that will catch his attention. Like, to throw...
Well, that's why I asked you, because I thought you meant he was just blowing it off like, who cares?
No,
against what you want to happen, right?
No, because you make an all-star team once, you're still a flash in the pan. One time, and now 5 years as a pro, granted an injury, but one time, and that's it? And you want to be a perennial all-star? Yeah, okay. Like I think it'll help him realize that his game needs to take that next step, because I'm not willing to look at Ben Simmons and talk about what an elite talent the guy is if I haven't seen that elite talent A, consistently, and B, in the biggest moments. That's not an all-star. That's the opposite. That's a guy that's just compiling numbers for himself. Do I think he can be a all-around great player? Absolutely. Do I think he can be a MVP candidate in his time in the NBA? Absolutely. But I don't think he gets any motivation out of going to an All-Star game. Again, it just validates I'm fine the way I am. And he's not fine the way he is.
Yeah,
I think he's a really good talent. I think he's a great defender. I think he is a great facilitator. But in terms of being the guy to step up, especially without Joel Embiid in the fourth quarter of games when you need a star player to really do that, an all-star player to do that, he hasn't done it.
Yeah,
I need to see it more against, not less against the Nets and more against teams like the Raptors, especially more against teams like the Lakers who are coming into town on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's understandable for you to feel that way, too, after he said what he said to Jack McCaffrey. You know, I'm an all-star, and you know, basically, I don't need a shot. So I hear you on that, and that very well could be true. I just really think maybe being around the best of the best might be better.
All right.
Yeah, we'll see.
610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll get into Brian Westbrook's comments yesterday. A couple of things he said, and we have a quote for you, and this always makes me feel good. Because, Trey, you know me. I never played in the NFL, I admit it. But whenever I hear a former NFLer, especially one as close to the team and as close to the situation as Brian Westbrook was, kind of say what I was saying yesterday, makes me feel a little bit better about having my finger on a pulse of a situation that should have borne more fruit than it did and should have given you, my friend, a Super Bowl parade, at least one. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. We got Mike and KOP got open lines after that. Time of the Fanatic is 7-11.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Real quick, it was around this time yesterday that Trey was doing a wonderful public service. Some gentleman, sent you pictures?
Yes.
And sent you pictures of you as a player.
Some of them were me. Most of them were me.
I believe 9 out of 10.
Yes.
And 9 out of 10 ain't bad.
Yes.
9 out of 10 were of you in Eagles, in your Eagles uniform.
Mm-hmm.
One was supposed to be you in a Chargers uniform when you were out there stealing money from that Antonio Gates fella.
And, it looked weird.
And it wasn't you.
No, it wasn't me.
It was some guy named Thomas.
It was a Thomas.
Yep.
But it wasn't me.
Possibly a cousin. And did you sign it anyway?
No. Okay. I sent those back.
Yeah.
And also in the envelope was $2.
And he sent you 10 pictures to autograph and $2 for postage, probably.
For postage, yeah.
And how much was postage?
So I went back to, like, one of these, UPS stores or whatever.
Sure.
It's like a postal connections. All right, that's where I go. So I go in there and I'm like, hey, I want to send this off. And so the lady looked it up on the computer. She starts clicking, click, 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 click. And she was like, that's going to be $30-something. Whoa, $30-something. Wait a minute. I have a $2 budget here. I like, surely there must be something cheaper.
Uh-huh.
And so she went to clicking on the computer. Click, 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 click. The best I can do is $16. Like, $16? All right, well, how much is the Pony Express then? I mean, but she was like, $16. That's the lowest I can go.
Wow.
So I sent the package back. $16 it cost me.
You're a good man.
So I'm like, yeah, you owe me $14. You're $14 your postage.
Wait, are you putting that service announcement out now?
No.
Or do you, like, incorporate a letter with the post?
Nah, I just let it slide because the envelope was already sealed. It's like, on which way is up?
Right, yeah.
It's like, hey, I would have put some money in this envelope, but it was already sealed. there you go.
You're a good man, sir.
Yeah, so I paid $16 in postage there.
Any note on the guy that's not you? Like, I don't know who this is, but...
Well, nah. I'm looking that up. It could be. There's a slew of Thomases that played for the San Diego Chargers. But one around Trey's time is probably defensive tackle Cam Thomas.
What number did he wear?
I don't have the numbers here, but let me look it up. Hold on.
Cam
this
Thomas.
Guy did have a 70. This guy was 72, wasn't he, Trey?
No, he was like a 76 or something. Like
yeah, I think the guy in your photo had a 73. I don't know. But the bottom line is that you're a nice human being, and you sent those back despite having to pay a charge.
Yeah, I sent them back anyway.
$16 for niceness.
Yeah, there you go.
The world we live in.
Hey, man.
I'm going to tell you right now, I still feel bad about this, because every once in a while I come across the envelope. Some guy randomly, a couple years back, sent me a photo of me and Al Michaels. That we took after the Malcolm Butler Super Bowl, where he intercepted the ball at the goal line against the Seahawks, and I guess he just got it off my Facebook page, and he was like, "Would you mind autographing this and sending it back?" And he had the full posters and everything, and I never sent it back.
Oh, I see that.
I feel like a jerk every time I come across it. I'm like, I should sign that, even though it's like 5 years later.
Yeah,
so you, sir, are a better man than I is the moral of the story.
I have signed it. I signed it and sent it back.
You're a good man.
It cost me $16. Well, $14. Yeah.
That's right. You got a $2 discount.
I have $2.
I can see Jay. Wait a minute. I'm on a $2 budget here. He's like, what?
So yesterday we re-examined for the millionth time the T.O. versus Donovan spat. Now, Brian Westbrook came out and spoke about this yesterday. Your former teammate, our current teammate here at 97.5 The Fanatic. And B. West actually took responsibility. He said in part one of this little interview, he said that he wished he wasn't a 26-year-old in the NFL at the time, that he wished rather he was like a 30-year-old veteran that would have had a little bit more clout in the locker room and would have been able to rein in both T.O. and Donovan and say, hey, figure it out. But as Ruben Frank told us yesterday on Quickslants, I was lucky enough to host Quickslants yesterday with Barrett Brooks, and he said, yeah, Dawkins tried to come in, Trey, and nullify that and make everybody happy, and Dawkins couldn't even do that.
And Dawkins coming in there with muscles and the Lord, so he couldn't do it.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. But Brian Westbrook wasn't coming in to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, Dawk coming in there with the Bible.
Oh, yeah, you're...
And some dumbbells. Like, hey, man, hey, look, we can work this out.
You going to go against Jesus in that locker room?
Yeah, I mean, for real, let's get it.
Is it true that that was Hugh Douglas's problem, is that he didn't bring the Lord in with him?
What, when he got into his kerfuffle? It was hilarious, though, man. Every time I talked to you about that, it was so funny.
Well, what was so funny about it?
Just when I, you know... When I walked out of the locker room, and, you know, right there at NovaCare, right outside the training room, you have the big glass panel that's looking into the weight room or whatever, so that you can look into the weight room.
Yeah.
So we come out of the meetings, and I'm getting ready to head into the training room or whatever. So as soon as you come out of that door, and they have the little secretary's office right there.
Right.
So I see my man out there with his head on his forehead, leaning up against the glass, breathing real heavy, you know, just in the...
Hugh?
Yeah, Hugh. And I'm like, that. What happened, man? What's wrong? He's like, man, me and T.O. just got into it. I'm like, really? Did you win? You know, he was like, man, you know, I just tried to catch his breath. I'm like, but yeah, I hear you, but did you win? But we never really got into it a little bit. I just let it go because he was breathing so heavy. And I'm like, man, you know, just thinking about it, I'm like, dog, you know, you're messing with somebody in peak physical condition. I mean, the man... It's not your average receiver. What he was like, 230, 240? And I think he had a minus 5% body fat? Statues have been erected to look like T.O.
And he had them built, as a matter of fact.
Out of marble.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I mean, you know, when you talk about somebody in peak condition, T.O. is your guy.
That's not the guy you want to pick
a fight
with.
No, you don't want to mess around. And I think Hugh had a blown pec at the time, so he was in there with one arm. And I'm like, man, you know... Did you win? And then that's when T.O. went in there and told Fine, like, hey, man, if you want some, come get some.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
That's when McNabb told T.O. if you want some, come get some?
No. Oh, it was T.O. had walked in there.
Oh, okay.
Like, anybody else want some, come get it.
Oh.
You know, he was already warmed up. T.O. was wild, man. That dude was hilarious. But, you know, yeah.
Here's how you know that Hugh had lost that one. It's like, ask me if I won. Ask me if I won.
Yeah, did you win?
Yep.
Okay.
Now ask me if I won again.
Hey, did you win?
You know, so what's happening? What's the weather like?
Yeah,
that's how you know he didn't win, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I don't know how, you know, I think they were wrestling around. It was a tussle. It was a tussle to the death.
Nobody was in a towel, right? Yeah, it was fully clothed men.
No. Well, T.O. was jogging in the pool, so he was doing some rehab in the pool. So they say the water was like, you know, waist deep, a little higher maybe. And they say T.O. came out of the water in one motion.
they sing songs.
Folklore says.
He was out of the water in one motion. It was like, keep him here. And he went, because he was wet, and we had the towels and everything, he had to run in there and go put on some shoes real quick, and then he came back to action. You know, so he had on tights and was wet. You know, and I'm like, man, you know, wait a minute. I need you to get fully dressed first. Mm. You
know? He jumped out of the tub like Bruce Lee, just like...
Yeah, just full, just ready? One motion. I mean, because, you know, the treadmill down there, it's a pretty big pool.
Yeah.
That the treadmill is in. So, you know, they say he came out of water in one motion.
I heard he actually levitated for a good, like, 2 minutes.
Just stared.
And the water didn't even ripple.
No. Yeah, it was amazing.
Splashed out of the water and went and put on some shoes because he needed footing.
It was biblical.
Yeah.
So if you...
Trey, I got bad news for you.
Uh-oh.
Sorry. A guy just tweeted in, I'm a USPS worker and you got robbed yesterday. Should have been no more than $4 or $5.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it says you need to go get a tracking number, go back and ask for a refund.
All right.
So this is taking a lot more than you expected it.
That's still $2 short.
Yeah,
I don't think you're going back.
Yeah, man,
that's
cool.
No, you're a good man. You just had a park named after you, for goodness sake. So if Brian Dawkins wasn't going to do it with the Lord and all them muscles, if Hugh Douglas wasn't going to do it, and really nobody else in that locker room could do it, I don't think Brian Westbrook was going to do it either.
Nah.
But here's what really caught my attention from Brian Westbrook yesterday on Fox Sports 1. When he was asked about where the blame goes when it comes to the rift between T.O. and Donovan way back when. Take a listen
to this. I think that T.O. signed a contract before he came to Philadelphia his last year in San Francisco. He wanted that thing to be guaranteed the last couple years in Philadelphia. And Joe Banner had the opportunity to say, okay, T.O., you broke your leg, you came back, you played in the Super Bowl, and you balled out. You were the best wide receiver in the game all year long. We're going to just guarantee the last 2 years. We don't have to fight about it. We don't have to discuss anything. I don't put blame on Donovan for that. I put more blame on Joe Banner.
That right there is the name that I think always gets left out of this conversation. Because everyone wants to talk about the two sexy names. They want to talk about Donovan. They want to talk about T.O. But what they don't want to talk about is the guy that could have went into that locker room after the Super Bowl and even gotten ahead of it and said, you know what? We know the last 2 years in the deal aren't guaranteed. We'll guarantee it. We'll play ball. You just played ball with us. Look how good we were as a team because of you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen.
No, you're not. But you weren't. And I don't care who you were. You were not going to force Joe Banner's hand.
No, you were not.
He's not the one you want to get into a staring competition with. He would sit there and let his eye fall out before he blinks. Like, look at it twitching. It just fall out. Bam. I still won.
There is a man. I don't believe there is a bigger. You're dead. It's fine.
Yeah, that's good.
I blink? Yeah, all right. I don't think there's a man in the city of Philadelphia that is a bigger fan of Joe Banner than our next caller. Mm. And it's just a happy accident this is working out like this. Mike in KOP, good morning, sir.
Hey, how are you doing today?
You're doing happy fantastic.
Happy New Year.
What the hell, man?
Here's my thing. This is an NBA what if, and I don't know if the process happens. And this is a stretch, so let me work this out. Had they, instead of drafted Evan Turner, they had drafted DeMarcus Cousins, which they should have done, they wouldn't have tried to make that trade for Andrew Bynum, and then they probably would have gone into that playoff series where they lost to Boston with a vastly different roster, and they wouldn't have felt the need to blow everything up to this effect.
Wow. You're exactly right.
And I'm just saying, like, that's one's been bouncing around in my head for years.
No, that's it. That's a really understated move. Because you're right. They probably don't trade for Bynum. They probably are a much better team, obviously, getting DeMarcus Cousins. But because they took Evan Turner and he was a bust.
Yep.
Wow. Because then you have, at that point, you have Drew Holiday, Andre Iguodala, and DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, and that's a formidable team.
That's actually pretty decent, considering what you know Drew Holiday turned into, because he would have never gotten traded, because that was really the first move of the process. The official start of the process was Drew Holiday getting traded at the draft. So that's a very understated, not really ever brought up point, Mike. Good job by you.
Thank you. Sometimes just crazy stuff rattles around in my head. And
sometimes?
Yeah, well, that I knew. But let me ask you this, because I do consider you Joe Banner's greatest fan. I don't know if you heard me say this yesterday. Joe Banner, I put more blame on him for T.O. Than no, I do
see,
for...
I don't, because everybody knew... This is revisionist, in a way, because everybody knew that the Players Association told T.O. that that is not a good contract to sign before he signed it, and he signed it anyway. So I blame...
Yeah, but then he went to the Super Bowl!
I know, but he was given warning ahead of time. So if he had the Eagles over a barrel, he should have went with it a little more. He should have figured that out beforehand. Drew Rosenhaus plays a pretty big role in that.
But hold on a second. But Joe Banner had the right and the power to nullify that.
I understand, but I'm just saying that, like, we're forgetting, like, he went into it knowing he's signing a garbage contract. Like, he just wanted out of Baltimore. He didn't want to go to Baltimore. He wanted to go to the Philadelphia Eagles. So that's a big part. So I put some of that on Drew Rosenhaus. I put some of that on T.O. Yeah, I mean, Joe Banner, in my mind, is a god, because if you're 30, he cuts you. So I love him. I have the poster erected to him. You know, I get a little shrine to Joe Banner.
Mike, let me ask you this. What was the better business decision? Was it to re-up with T.O. or was it to do what he did?
No, they should have re-upped with T.O. Okay. And we should have probably drafted Randy Moss over Trey Thomas, but I love
him. Oh, my God. Damn. Michael, I was going to give you.
I had to get it in there. and if you want, we can start a GoFundMe to get your couple dollars back. Like, a Trey Thomas GoFundMe.
It just hurts. Damn. It just stings a little bit.
Mike, I was going to give you at least.
I knew he was going to do that. Yeah, to go below the belt like that.
Yeah, he was below the belt.
Who are they going to throw the ball to? How are they going to get the ball out to Randy Moss?
They were going to get it out to Randy Moss.
It's not even close to being on my list that I have here, Trey.
How you do that?
That's ridiculous. I was going to give him a gift certificate to Lee's Hoagie House, but he just cost himself the gift certificate thanks to that low blow.
Yeah. But Randy Moss smoked weed in college. Weed!
Wait, are you agreeing with Mike?
Well,
no.
Okay.
Weed, man. Weed!
No,
let it go.
I'm not kidding when I say this. This is not a joke.
Kind of hanging with him a lot. My college years.
Trey's going to be on his way home in his truck later going, Mike and KOP's a bastard. It's going to enter your mind for a fleeting second, and then by like Sunday, you'll be like, I'll kill him! 610-632-0975. Yeah, it is crazy to go back and think about that. And we are talking about this today. The all-time what could have been moments in sports. And that moment right there with DeMarcus Cousins and Evan Turner is absolutely one of them. Because it was considered a two-player draft, or really a one-player draft. That's what it was considered. John Wall, Evan Turner, and DeMarcus Cousins was on there. What did he go, fifth overall, mm-hmm. sixth overall? Like, there weren't a lot of guys in that draft that people were like, oh, did you get this guy? It was the second overall pick. Evan Turner was thought to be a good backcourt mate with Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
And that was a complete bust. Not as much as it was with Markelle Fultz and Ben Simmons, but still nonetheless, that idea was a bust. Did not work out. If that changed, you don't have the process. Maybe Hanky still comes here and he ends up trading DeMarcus Cousins. I don't know. But then you certainly don't go for a guy like Andrew Bynum. That never happens. Andre Iguodala would still be here. And you wouldn't have had that, what was it, Tuesdays with Bynum? Bob, yeah. You were there. You were there for it.
Was it Mondays or Tuesdays? Yeah.
Whatever it was. It was what haircut will he have this week? That's what I remember. And will he play?
That was strange.
The answer was always no. It's a wild thing to go back and think about. We got some good ones that we're putting on a list right now. We're giving away some passes to Lee's Hoagie House. We have gift certificates for that we're giving out today. Lee's Hoagie House is even coming in today to give us some fine hoagies. I'm looking forward to that. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we'll let you know how you can win up to $10,000 as part of our Trust the Contest 5K a Day cash giveaway. See, you know what? You know, if you draft DeMarcus Cousins, we probably don't name the contest Trust the Contest. Because then that reference would be moot.
Our whole world would be upside down.
It absolutely would be.
Yeah.
It absolutely would be. While we're on the subject of basketball, I do want to revisit this. Because it is an interesting thing when I believe a lot of people in the fan base are rooting against Ben Simmons to make an all-star team. Now you have Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is the Eastern Conference captain, and then you have LeBron James as the Western Conference captain. So I don't know how much influence LeBron James is going to have on Giannis Antetokounmpo. If LeBron James was still in the Eastern Conference, we'd see if he'd select Ben. But Ben Simmons could be playing in his second All-Star game come February 16th. He has not made the All-Star game yet, not made the All-Star team. Joel Embiid was voted to a starting position despite not having played for 2.5 weeks. So now we're waiting to see if Ben Simmons actually makes it in. 50% of the fan vote goes towards naming a starter, and then 25% of the coaches vote, 25% of the players vote. That's how you get in to name the starting players for the All-Star game. Now, when it comes to the campaigning around the league to try to get other guys that are going to be up for grabs in those leagues there or in those conferences, Bob, how does that part of it work? Is it a matter of coaches campaigning? Will Brett Brown be making phone calls like he did, like what happened in the past with Drew Holiday, with Andre Iguodala? Or will this be something that most guys will step in and go, oh, no, Ben Simmons deserves to be an All-Star this year?
That's a good question.
Last I saw, he was 8th in the voting.
Yeah. Yeah, there's going to be some, home cooking, shall we say.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you're right. I think if LeBron James is head of the East, I'll bet you Ben Simmons is there, no doubt. Maybe he makes a call to Giannis and says, you know, this is your pick. I don't know. I don't know how much campaigning goes for it. I don't know how seriously the players really take it as far as getting there, in all honesty. That's a grind. Like, you know, there were times where Sixers might have a game on a Wednesday night. You fly to the All-Star City the next day, and the players are doing the same thing. You know, and that's tough. You know, I remember Kobe coming into an All-Star thing one year. I think we might have been down in Florida or something, and we were watching him play at like 11:30 the night before. You know, he had a late game. So a lot of those guys want the rest. But that you're not afforded that when you're at All-Star weekend. So if you're a fringe guy, yeah, everybody wants to be an All-Star. But if you've been there and done it, maybe you want the rest even more. Who knows?
Maybe he doesn't want to go. Well, maybe he doesn't want to go to the All-Star game. Maybe he wants to go away with Kendall.
Yeah, just hang out in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, at the Whole Foods or something.
They've been apart for quite some time. You know, maybe they just want to.
I don't know.
Maybe, absence makes the heart grow fonder, right, Mark?
Yeah, and I think the rest of the phrase is and miss the NBA All-Star game. I think that's how that phrase goes if you continue it. 610-632-0975.
NBA All-Star weekend or like a weekend away in the islands with Kendall Jenner?
You know, when I have to make a decision like that,
it's a tough one.
Let me tell you, it takes me a while.
I don't know. I love the 3-point shooting contest.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have my feet up on a beach with a supermodel instead.
The 3-point shooting
contest. Remember the one where Bird won and he jacked it up and then gave the number one sign before the ball even went through?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See, those, I'll take All-Star Saturday over anything.
I believe he showed
Kendall
up.
Kendall be damned.
And said, I believe Bird showed up before that contest and said, yeah, who's coming in second, guys?
Exactly.
Guy was a trash talker. Coming up in a minute, we're going to get into this Antonio Brown story, because if we thought Terrell Owens was crazy, there's a whole lot more crazy left in Antonio Brown. Time of the Fanatic is 7:40.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Antonio Brown turned himself in to authorities. And I didn't count the charges. Jamie, how many charges? There were a slew of charges.
I saw assault and battery was one of them. At least 3 or 4. I'm not even sure. I hate to say I've given up following it, but
That's okay saying you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude needs help. He didn't really have a choice to turn himself in.
No.
They said, turn yourself in or we're coming to get you tomorrow.
Yeah, and it's like people will talk about, oh, the Eagles should have given him a chance. And we were having this argument with people. Oh, what, just because he's been accused of sexual assault? And I'm like, oh, yeah, just accused of it. Like, yeah, it's nothing. No, it's, you will talk about from a football standpoint, the Steelers paid $24 million to say, not our problem anymore.
And Mike Tomlin might deserve some kind of award for keeping all of this kind of close to the vest for all those years.
Yeah, a little bit. So it's a crazy, crazy story. And here's the thing. Here's what I know. If he's not arrested, if he's not in prison by next year, right, the next football season, I should say, then we'll get calls. Well, maybe Antonio Brown's available.
Oh, totally.
And it's like, yeah, do you want to mess with that if he hasn't gotten help? No, I don't want to mess with that.
Ew.
Let's not go ahead and poison a locker room that's already had minor distractions.
The man had a bag of gummy penises on hand.
Yeah, that's where it got.
Just waiting.
In front of his kids.
Just waiting.
While yelling at police.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm good on that.
No. I don't think it fits the culture of the Eagles.
You know what?
Alshon... Gummy penises, not welcome at the NovaCare Center.
Dang. This just in.
Did Alshon Jeffrey ever throw gummy penises at Jacina Anderson?
Not to my knowledge.
The answer to that is no. So you say whatever you want, Alshonimus, to use our friend Jimmy Kemsky's term. Mike and Del Rand, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
What's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
I usually leave my bag of gummy penises at home. I don't really... It's going to take special events for them to come out, so I don't know what he was doing.
You know what? Hey. Because you were raised right, my friend.
That's right.
Don't bring them to cornhole, Mike.
If we would have... No, because you know what? At cornhole, we're going to give Mike and KOP a giant wedgie, Trey. Giant wedgie. You know why? Because if we went Randy Moss over Trey Thomas, we wouldn't have Manscaped and Blue Chews. And I'll tell you what, Trey's done more for my sex life than Randy Moss ever had.
Well said. Mike, I that is a beautiful line. We might be using that later in the show.
You guys are more than welcome to take it. Hey, but on serious note, though, you know, last night I was listening to Cuz's Corner and Tim Legler was on. I don't know if anybody caught this. Bob,
I caught a little.
I wanted to get your opinion first. I heard a comment from Legler that absolutely, like, floored me and kind of made me realize, or not realize, but really gave me a lot of doubt about this team, more so than I may have already had. Tim Legler said that this team looks better when they play small. And that, to me, was jaw-dropping because I thought the whole point of our roster makeup was to be big, tall, long, length. And when a guy like Tim Legler say the team's better when we're small, seems like everything we did to try to get our team constituted the way it is backfired. And I just wanted to get your thoughts. I don't know if you heard that, Bob. I mean, he's not wrong.
No, yeah, it's damning. And you know what's so confusing to me, Mike, is that this shouldn't all be new to Brett Brown. Don't forget, he was sitting on a San Antonio bench that had Tim Duncan and David Robinson and figured out a way to work it. And I asked him, I said, you know, how much do you draw back on that when they got Horford and you knew Embiid and Horford were going to be together? How much will you draw back on that? And he said, a lot. You know, we knew how to play a high-low game where Robinson was down low and Timmy Duncan was outside. He said, we figured all that out. And during his time in San Antonio, they changed offensive schemes like 4 or 5 times where they went from, you know, 2 big men, then they went to a shooting game and 1 big man, and then they went to that passing game that became so popular throughout the league. I don't know why the Sixers' philosophy or schemes doesn't seem to have changed with the big men. It's very concerning.
Yeah, it is. So, I mean, going forward, you know, I want to see some more Trey Burke. And you know, if you got to run small, I don't want Embiid and Horford on the court at the same time anymore. When he comes back, I don't want them on the court at the same time. You need to start going back to traditional basketball with positions and let them play their game because, he's not wrong. You know, and last thing real quick, that Brian Windhorst dude, he's only somebody because of LeBron James. I don't think he's ever actually dreamed of playing a sport, let alone play a sport. So I don't want to hear about how since Joel Embiid's been out, Josh Richardson and Ben Simmons were players of the week. Shut up, you weirdo. Go first.
Mike and Del Rand, ladies and gentlemen. There does need to be better organization with this basketball team. And I know people will always go to rotations and who comes off the bench first from Brett Brown and all right. that. But just with the starting five themselves, there seems to be a need for defined roles. Now, I know what needs to happen when Joel Embiid comes back. That it needs to be even more organized because you see so many times the lane being clogged and the team's not even playing a 3-2 defense against or a 2-3 defense like the Raptors were. Like, you don't even see that much. I'm surprised by it because of who the point guard is of this team. But even when Joel Embiid comes back, I saw way too many times the spacing not be there on the court. So, yeah, I do agree with going back to the more, getting away from the positionless basketball that has become so popular because Brett Brown needs a better way to, like, forget about coaching. He needs to direct traffic. That's what he needs to do. And Ben hasn't been doing that because his spacing hasn't been there. Because of the lack of a jump shot, guys know that they can sag back in the lane and wait for him to come to them. And then you don't have as much room for Joel Embiid to work down, though. You don't have... And by the way, you have two centers that are also clogging up the lane. Like, I know Joel Embiid wants to play away from the basket, but a lot of times he wants to end up on the block. That is a huge traffic jam down low.
Yeah, but they should be able to figure it out better. And I'll 100%. Give you an example. Like, last night, I start watching the Lakers game. Well, the Lakers put Dwight Howard in the starting lineup last night. Okay, with Anthony Davis, with LeBron James. Yet, somehow, some way, with Dwight Howard starting for, like, the first time this year, the ball moved. Spaces were open. Anthony Davis was able to do what Anthony Davis does. Dwight Howard did some good things. There's LeBron shooting jumpers, penetrating the lane. There's movement. There's good passing. There's wide open shots. It's like it can. Everybody looks for perfection. All right, your four-man has to be a guy that can shoot from the outside. Your five. Like, no. Give me players. They have a great lineup. They have really good, talented players in that starting five. I don't figure it out. It's not this, oh, it's too clustered. You have to take this guy out because this guy. No, figure it out. Like, do a better job of figuring it out.
I hate saying this because the guy's a coach. He's a professional coach. But is it a matter of Brett Brown not wanting to overstep and almost embarrass Ben? He's supposed to be this great point guard, yet I don't see spacing on this team. LeBron James figures it out. Anthony Davis figures it out. Dwight Howard, even, who I'm not the biggest fan of, figures it out. Do you have a coach getting involved, helping them figure it out? Because those guys seem to be pretty damn good players, no matter who their coach is. Does Ben Simmons need to figure it out? Or does Brett Brown just need to say, guys, here's how we're doing this. This is how we're going to get spacing on the floor. Our point guard's not doing it. He's not going to say this. Our point guard's not doing it, so more or less I have to. And is he a good enough coach to figure it out?
Those are the questions.
That's what you need to fall back on right now, because the players aren't going to figure it out. I was hoping Al Horford would be the guy to help everybody along here. But he is even lost, admittedly, from his own mouth, saying that this team can't figure it out. And he doesn't know his role in his offense. He's not comfortable in this role in his offense, which is, I don't even know what it is.
Well, that's good timing for all this, because the next 10 games is absolutely brutal.
Yeah, it's not a good time.
Not a great time to figure this out, especially with the home and road splits and seeding being more important than ever. Yeah, you go Lakers, Warriors, there's an easy one.
Yeah, right.
Hawks, Celtics, Heat, Bucks.
All on the road, four games on the road.
Yeah, but what's even worse is you can't, it doesn't matter who you're playing over the next 10, 15 games, because you can't figure anything out right now because two of your key pieces aren't there.
Yeah, Josh Richardson's going
to
be out at least 3 weeks.
The only thing you're trying to figure out now is it Zaire Smith or is it somebody else?
Mariel Shayok, baby, let's go.
Super Mariel, let's party.
Let's go.
Yeah, so that's what you're trying to figure out now. That has nothing to do with the guys that you're going to the playoffs with.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, we will see our friend Mike and Del Ran, as we'll see a lot of people at our Cornhole Championship.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.